for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Thanksgiving Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. deliverance and teaching meeting. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on an unloving spirit.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for a roof over our head. We thank you for water, running water. We thank you for electricity. We thank you for cars. We thank you for the turkeys. We thank you for the difficult people. We thank you for our circumstances. Thank you that you're shaking loose everything that's shakable. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that for the food that you provide for us each day in America. Lord, we don't take it for granted. We just are so grateful, Lord, for all you do. Thank you for cars. Thank you for jobs. Thank you that our bills are paid. Oh, thank you that we're paying our bills. Thank you that you are going to bless us even in times of famine. We give you praise, and we want to thank you today for all that we have, Lord. We just praise your name. This afternoon, I want to teach on an unloving spirit, it's really a spirit of self-rejection. This morning, we talked about rejection, but an unloving spirit is a spirit of self-rejection, and it really comes in through the parent most like you, the parent that's critiqued you. If you've had children, you know that you always have the hardest time with the child most like you. Because you know all their moves, all their manipulations. You know it all. And so it's an antichrist spirit that contradicts everything God said about you. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that demon tells you that you're ugly and unacceptable. God says you're accepted in the beloved, and that demon says nobody likes you, nobody wants you, nobody accepts you. God's word says you're God's workmanship. And that demon says, no, God, you know, God made a mistake. That demon says, God's word says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that demon says, you can't do it. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. And that demon keeps you in a state of fear. But an unloving spirit is a nitpicking demon. It nitpicks you morning, noon, and night. And I used to have it working in me. I remember calling, I would be having indigestion. I mean, everything I'd eat would give me indigestion. And I remember calling Henry Wright's ministry, and I talked to Anita, his assistant, and I said, can you tell me what the root to indigestion is? I said, you know, I'm not aware of being bitter toward anybody, but what I'm belching up is bitter, so I must be bitter towards somebody. And I've forgiven everybody I know. And she said, well, what about being bitter towards yourself? I thought, that's it. I'm bitter toward myself. It's like an unloving spirit is a spirit of self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-condemnation. A spirit that constantly tears you down. And it's a spirit that nitpicks you 24/7. It's a voice that's always nitpicking you. And when I realized that my whole life I'd had a spirit that was constantly nitpicking me, never measured up. I mean, I'd be having a good day and look in the mirror and feel like, oh my goodness, I'm fat. And the spirit speaks to different people different ways, but it used to speak to me like fat, 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 fat. Constantly fat, fat, fat. But see, I was constantly critiqued growing up because of, you know, being overweight. And this morning when I said, I wish that I wanted to correct this and never did, you know, that was my interpretation of my parents, that they'd rather me stay at home than be. I'm not sure they thought that at all, but that's how I felt that they would be embarrassed if I was overweight, because they took pride in outward appearance. So I don't know if that was what they thought or what I thought they thought. But an unloving spirit is a spirit. It's a demon that nitpicks you 24/7. And you know, when I realized that that was a demon and not me talking to me, I mean, it's not in me anymore. The reason it's there is we think it's us talking to us, and so we let it stay. And when I realized that it was a demon spirit, I told it to take a hike. And today I'm trusting that y'all are going to get delivered from a spirit of an unloving spirit. It's an antichrist spirit because it contradicts everything that God said. It's a spirit of self-bitterness, self-mutilation, self-destruction, self-condemnation, unforgiveness of self. And the way that we deal with it is to forgive the parent most like us that constantly critiqued us. Whatever area that you were critiqued in is an area where, you know, you look at your life, you look at in the mirror, and you don't fit in to what you think that you ought to be. It's just all idolatry. It's a spirit of an image you compare yourself with, of what you think you should look like, be like, your life should be like. And you look at yourself, you look at your life, and you don't measure up to this mental image, which is idolatry, and you reject yourself, and then you take a nosedive. And that's what I do. I would look in the mirror, and this demon would say, fat, 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 fat. So then I'd take a nosedive, be discouraged, depressed. Then just go eat more to... Oh, well, you're already big inside the house. You might as well go eat some more. Eat some more and then get depressed and go to bed. And an idol can not only be anything you allow to control you. Romans 6 says that when you have anything you let control you becomes an idol. And recently when God delivered me from this fat thing, I don't know what happened to me, but a missionary came to our church. And he said a lot of things, but one thing he said was that in foreign countries, this was Olu, a friend of Carla's, and basically what he taught was that in Africa, because of the false gods, what they do is that they spend all day long cooking food for their false god. And if you've ever been in one of these oriental nail places, you'll see a Buddha sitting there, and then there'll be a hot dog underneath it and a Diet Coke or a cookie where they give to that Buddha food. You'll see all kinds of flowers that they're giving to the Buddha. And when I realized, I don't know what happened to me, but when I realized that God wanted my food, just like He wants our drugs, our food, our sex, I mean, however it applies to you, with me it was with food. I always thought that dieting was, you know, for me, to please me. And I would never realize it's not dieting anymore, but I realized most of my life when you have an idol, you're consumed with it. You're thinking about what you're going to eat the next meal when you're eating this meal. I used to have it all planned out. You know, if I'm going to, because I've dieted for so many years, and it never worked. Never. I mean, I said, if I lost a pound in 20 years, it would be a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle that I've lost weight and I'm still losing weight. My sister can cut out her afternoon dessert with whipping cream and drop 7 pounds in 3 days, just cutting out her, you know. And me, my mother used to say, everything Jerry eats turns to fat. Jerry just has a slow, sluggish metabolism. So this has been a lifetime, goodness, it's almost 50 years. Ever since I was small enough to pray, I remember praying, Lord, deliver me from this food thing, from fat. And when I realized that it was for God, not for me, something broke in my life. I don't even know what it was, but I'm not consumed with food anymore. If I get hungry, I eat a fourth of an apple and it satisfies me. Before, I had to have it planned out. Well, let's see, now if you can only have 1,000 calories, you're going to have this and this and this and this. Have you ever done that? Have you ever counted calories forward and backwards and carbohydrates? And the last 20, 30 pounds I gained was on that no-fat diet. Remember when that came out? Anyway, something broke in me. I don't know what it was, but I'm not consumed with food anymore. And I give God all the glory, all the grace. God says, my people will volunteer in the day of my power. And so there's an appointed time when God's going to set you free from certain things. He don't do it all in one day. It's like peeling an onion, layer by layer by layer. And God, all the promises of God are to the overcomers. And we've all got stuff to overcome. Every one of us. But an idol can not only be anything that you let control you, but it can be and it can be a statue you bow down to, or it can be a mental image of what you compare yourself to. And it's all idolatry and all demonic. And an unloving spirit is an evil spirit that nitpicks you. It's a spirit of perfectionism. It's connected to multitudes of fear spirits. Fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being perfect, fear of not looking good, fear of failure, fear of being fat, fear of not being right. You know, my whole life it's been a progression of getting delivered from certain things. You know, with this food thing, it started in the womb when my mother and father went through the depression. For many years I had a fear of being without food. And that came in the womb when my mother used to say, we never knew where our next meal was going to come from. My mother shelled peas on the halves, which means she would pick peas and shell them and give the owners of the pea patch half of the peas, and she'd take the other half. She'd do that as a half. So that entered in the womb. And then I remember when my little granddaughter was born, she weighed 10 pounds and was standing at the nursery window looking at her, and they were saying, oh, she's so fat. And I was saying, I bind those words in the name of Jesus. And then I realized I weighed 11 pounds when I was born. So I can imagine, the Bible says that words set on fire the very course of your life. The words that are spoken over you in the womb and birth set a course that your life goes. So getting delivered from that and getting deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Over the years, I've repented over fat, over food. I mean, went through all the scriptures, repenting over those things. And it's a process of learning to overcome and don't get discouraged. Sometimes we'll deal with one issue of our life and then we'll give up and think, well, this isn't working. And we might have victory for 30 minutes or an hour or 2 weeks, and then we're back and we think, well, that didn't work. Yes, it did. It was just another layer. You've got the next layer to deal with. And you keep on till you totally overcome. An unloving spirit comes in generationally, and it comes in through the parent most like you. It's a spirit where you compare yourself to others. You have a fear of, I need a substance, I need caffeine, I need alcohol, I need drugs, I need sex, I need something to keep me going. I need something to keep me functioning, to look good. You know, I was addicted for 17 years. I was addicted to diet pills. My mother said when I was 13, she said, and please know I'm not criticizing my mother. She did the best she knew how, and she was a good mother. But she said, I've heard of a diet pill doctor I'm taking you to. You're going to lose weight. And I went to the diet pill doctor, and I remember the nurse said, you'll be doing this the rest of your life. But he gave me diet pills and a vitamin shot. And that started me on being addicted to the diet pills. Praise God, in 1969, God set me free from diet pills. My blood pressure was 85 over 60. And I just had to keep confessing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I'm weak, I'm strong. We lived up in an apartment building, and I remember that my blood pressure was so low that sometimes even getting up and down the stairs. Because when you get through, when you've been addicted to pills that speed you up, then you're depending on that to keep you going, to keep you from being fat. And I remember I had this huge fear of being fat. And I just had to die to that. And I remember one day in church, pastor preached on fear. And I said, I have a fear of being fat. I went forward and he told that spirit of fear to leave me. So that was another layer to the onion of getting me delivered. And the reason I'm saying all that is don't give up. I'm not going to give up on my eyes. And I really believe that the Lord just got things to teach me. He's taught me so much about eyes, haughty eyes. You know, when your eyes, I don't know about you, but I said something to just a, he wasn't an eye specialist, but he was just a guy that gives you glasses, optometrist. And I said, what about when your eyes just, you're just sitting there and a tear runs out of your eyes? He said, oh, that's so old dry eyes that people get in the nursing home because of old age. And as I begin to look up haughty eyes, it means eyes that run down with tears. That's what the word means in the Hebrew. So I'm thinking, you know, your eyes running down with tears, it's just from haughtiness. And the Bible says that if we compare ourselves among ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, we're fools. And that's what we do. We compare ourselves, or we look at someone else and think, oh, you know, the world standard is not God's standard. I was telling someone the other day, you know, regarding their church. I was telling a pastor this. You know, Noah only had a congregation of 8. And yet, God so valued Noah that he saved Noah and destroyed the rest of the world. And today, if you look at church, you think if it's not big, you don't value it. And what man values is abominable to God. And so, God, give us eyes to see our life and each other and our circumstances from your point of view and not ours. Isaiah 40:18 says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare him to? Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot be compared with her. Instead of comparing ourselves to the likeness of God and seeking God and His wisdom, we seek after things of the world. An unloving spirit is a familiar spirit of the parent most like you. It attaches itself to you through your parents' condemnation and rejection of the child, through the lack of affirmation. An unloving spirit works in you. It won't allow you to treat yourself kindly. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been my worst critic. I have such high expectations of myself because my parents had high expectations of me. And God has high expectations of us, but it's not our power, it's God's power. We've come out of generations of people that trust the flesh. Yesterday, my precious sister, who's never believed in deliverance, I was talking to her over the phone, and I said, what are you doing today? She said, I just went to the doctor. She said, I've been having pains in my legs. And I just started, and of course my dad, just before he died, she was taking care of him. And just before he died, he was getting terrible cramps in his legs and in his feet and was having leg problems. And so I just led us both in repentance. I just started praying and I said, Lord, you said you don't take pleasure in the legs of a man or the strength of a horse or in human flesh. And I said, Lord, Nyla and I have come out of generations of people that trusted their own flesh, lived after the flesh. And I broke soul ties with her and my dad. And I said, that ought to take care of your legs. She said, they already feel better. I said, that's deliverance. In case you've always wondered, she's always rejected deliverance. I said, you just got delivered, girl. So thank the Lord that I have a sister that's open to the Lord, that loves the Lord. But an unloving spirit keeps you from seeing yourself as God sees you. It's at the root of all addictions because we're turning to other substances to alleviate our pain. And for every thought we have, conscious or unconscious, there's a chemical reaction in our body, and it releases certain hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, serotonin. It either releases too much or it causes us not to have enough. And Ish Payne, and I forgot the exact figures, but he said for every negative thought, our immune system is shut down. Does anybody remember? It's shut down for so many hours. Is it 12 hours, 24 hours for every negative thought you have? The other day I was looking at a book somebody sent me called Who Turned My Brain Off? And in that book, it says, for every negative thought you have, or for every thought you have, there's either a negative or a positive reaction in your body. And the hypothalamus gland is called the brain of the endocrine system. And when you have negative thoughts about yourself, your body will produce hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, serotonin, cortisol, endorphins, dopamine, and there'll be too much or not enough. And one of its most important jobs is to control your pituitary gland, which controls your serotonin levels. And when you go and you're depressed and you go to the doctor, it gives you serotonin enhancers. But you see, that's just putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. Don't let anybody, and if your own drugs or psychiatric drugs, this is not a condemnation because we've all been there, done that. But it's to say, hey, the more excellent way is to find out why you're depressed. And can I tell you what depressed me is my idol of I have to be petite. And you know, that came in through Mother used to call me, you big old stand up in the road. You're just a big old stand up in the road. I was teaching in California and somebody said, Jerry, what's a big old stand up in the road? I said, I don't know. So next time I saw my mother, I said, Mother, what's a big old stand up in the road? She said, oh, that's just the expression we used to use. And I think, yeah, she used to use it. Always used it on me. But in my mind, it wasn't petite. And to be acceptable, I couldn't be a big old stand up in the road. So I had to be petite. And I'm telling you all this to tell you the different stages of what God takes us through. Deliverance is like peeling an onion. Whatever your thing is, whether it's fat, food, depression, or whatever, there is a spiritual root to why these things are going on. And when you find it and deal with it, it's over. But when you go to the world and you seek medical, you seek drugs and you're taking medicine, And please know this is not to condemn anybody, because like I said, we've all been there and done that. But when you take medication, what you're doing is you're just suppressing the symptoms. You're not finding why you're sick. And if you don't find out why you're sick, the Bible says your body will become old and worn out when you. What does the scripture says? When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And all of us have hidden sin that we don't see. So that's not to condemn anybody. I can't tell you how mad it makes people sometimes when you say, hey, sickness is rooted in sin. They don't like that. But I'm not saying, you know, you're just a sinner. I'm saying I'm a sinner. God, I'm in the need of prayer myself because I've got physical things that I need healing from. But I know it's not out there in the world. Medication, every medication has side effects that becomes another disease. Sometimes people are sick because of the repercussions of all of the drugs. And there are side effects. Henry Wright says you can't get delivered from side effects. And can I tell you, you cannot medicate a spiritual problem. It won't go away with medicine. I hope that encourages you. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I'm saying, hey, I'm telling you what the more excellent way is. A way that you can get lasting healing. And you know, I want to say something. It's Mindy, right? Mindy, I have seen God change you from glory to glory from the first time I met you. God has done such a mighty work in her. In all of us. Listen, I'm changing every day. I don't want to be the same old person. I haven't ever liked me. But now I'm beginning to like me, not in a bad way, but in God's estimation of me. Because I don't have that unloving, self-rejecting spirit anymore. And for us to not love ourselves is a sin. For us to hold unforgiveness is a sin. When we don't forgive ourselves or others, we're turned over, according to Matthew 18, to the tormentors, to the torturers. Well, in order for us to experience abundant life, be healed and delivered, and to have a right relationship with God and each other, we have to love ourselves, because Jesus said we're to love others as we love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves with God's healthy view or with His estimation and valuation of ourselves, then we're in sin. Jesus said in Matthew, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself." And the biggest hindrance to us loving ourselves is an unloving spirit. Are y'all hearing me when I say it is a nitpicking demon that works in you, that talks to you? Those of you who've had it or have it, know there's a voice that's always talking to you, and you never measure up. You always come short of something. And I tell you, most of my life, until about 10 years ago, I had that demon working in me. And I tell you, it is such a relief. It has been such a relief for the past 10 years not to have that demon talking to me. If it starts talking to me, it has to go. And unloving spirit is an evil spirit that we think's us. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. This Antichrist spirit says you're ugly, you're fat, you're no good, you're not acceptable, you're a loser. God's Word says He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And this thing says you're going to go broke and not be able to pay your bills. This demon says you're hopeless, and God says you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. You always triumph in Jesus' name. This demon says you're never going to get it. You're never going to amount to anything. And God says we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. We love not our life. And you know, the word of our testimony, if it's down in our heart, we're always saying it. I'm not saying it now, but I bet you since I've known Carla, she could tell you she's heard me say I'm fat about a million times. That's an exaggeration. Because see, that thing is down in my heart. And what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And what's in your heart is up here in your mind. You can't control your tongue, but you can get your heart pure, so your tongue is pure. That thing is gone from my life. It's the stages of deliverance, of layer by layer by layer, precept by precept. You change from glory to glory to glory. If you ever come to the place where you quit dealing with your stuff, you'll be turned over to a depraved mind, which I believe is one of the roots to Alzheimer's. God says, even though they knew God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When I was teaching, since He's not here right now, but when I was teaching this morning, the Lord showed me another person that I had judged here in this room that's out of their mind or not a sound mind. And Lord, I just repent. And I'm going to go to that man, even though I don't know if he even knows it. And I'm going to apologize to him. That would have been another route to this, all of a sudden, forgetting. Most of my life, I've been so impatient with incompetent people. And when I go to a restaurant in the past, I get the dumbest, slowest, most incompetent waiters there was. Why? Because God was trying to teach me to be patient. Ecclesiastes says that a patient spirit is better than a haughty spirit. And if you're impatient, as I've been, that's haughtiness. And then your eyes can run down with tears. And they'll call it dry eyes. That's what they call it. But it's haughty eyes. Yes. Yes, that's right. This Antichrist spirit, God says, you'll never overcome. And God says that through God you'll do valiantly. For it is He, God, who treads down your foes. The enemy, this Antichrist spirit, says you're just too weak, you're just too tired. And God says when you're weak, you're strong. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. There's no hope for me. God doesn't have a plan, that demon says. And God says, I've scheduled every day of your life before you were born. You can't, if you love God with your whole heart, you didn't miss God. You've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. Some people are afraid to bind the devil because they think he's some kind of, you better not be dealing or binding the devil. Well, the devil, God says, submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he'll flee. And a principality is he's a underling of Satan. And now don't be so foolish that you're going around to a city and you're trying to do warfare to bind the demons over the city demons are in people because of sin. And you can get big time attacked by going around trying to deal with the demons over the city. That's not even scriptural. But you can pray for the people to deal with the sin so that the principality doesn't get them. The enemy says, the Antichrist spirit says, there's no hope. And God says, hope in me. What time you're afraid, put your trust in me. The enemy says, boy, you've ruined yourself. I remember saying, you know, everything I'm telling this man, everything I've ever gone through, God has worked it for my good in my life. Everything that I've gone through, God's worked it for good. I've had a son die of AIDS. I've had two husbands leave me. One left with his secretary. And maybe I'm kind of hard to get along with. I don't know. I'll tell you something funny for those of you who haven't told you. I got this. Now, I'm not looking for a husband, okay? But I got this thing from eHarmony.com that, you know, let me give you this little test. You know, find a match. And I know too many people that have been, oh, goodness, destroyed because of meeting somebody on the internet. Don't be that stupid or foolish. If you have, ask God to forgive you. But you can get burned big time. And I really wasn't interested, but I thought it would be fun to take this free test. So I took the test, and it looked like a little pinball machine. Everything's spinning around. It says, we're sorry, we can't find a match for you. I think that was hysterical. I just laughed. But it was basically, the test is, you know, compromising here, compromising there. And I'm not going to compromise. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to walk in holiness and righteousness, and I'm not there yet. But I'm going to be there. An unloving spirit works in you to attack others and others like you. Psalms 109 says that if you love to curse, you get clothed with cursing as a garment. It accuses you and contradicts what God says about you. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says the words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consuming. You eat yourself up with your own words. James 3:1-2, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Okay, this is the body of Christ, right? I'm the body of Christ. There's a body here. And so it's saying here, if I can watch my words, I can control the body in a godly way. An unloving spirit is a deceiving and lying spirit. It's a spirit of hate, murder, unforgiveness of self. It's perfectionism. When you don't measure up, you become angry at yourself, and then you're bitter because you're not what you think you ought to be. And the major root to this evil, self-hating, evil spirit is the lack of proper discipline. When you're not disciplined, you hate yourself. Proverbs 15:32 says that if you're without discipline, you despise yourself. And God's discipline, when you ask God what He's trying to show you, He's going to bring discipline in your life or bring correction in your life. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train him up in the way he shouldn't go, and he'll not depart from it until he takes accountability and goes to the cross with it and lets God discipline him and forgives the ones who didn't discipline him. So many people that used to come through our farm for ministry, I remember asking this one lady, you know, her daughter had bipolar, and I said, well, did you discipline your daughter? She said, I'm sorry to say, but I didn't. And here the daughter was 40, 50 years old, and the mother was still finding a place for her because she never disciplined her. So however we were trained up is how we go, and that's the wilderness we have to overcome. However you were trained up sets the pattern. If it was not aligned with this word, if it contradicted this word, it's like the children of Israel had a physical land to possess. We have a spiritual land, and our spiritual land we have to possess came in through us not being trained up according to this word. Every place you were not trained up according to this word is something you have to overcome. And God lets the difficult people to reflect or mirror what He wants to fix in us. And that's encouraging. I'm learning, and I'm not quite there yet, because I still struggle with it, to see these people as a gift. When a child's not disciplined, he doesn't feel loved. He despises himself. He has no fear of God, does not learn through discipline how to overcome, has a low self-esteem, does not know how to do certain things, does not learn in childhood through the rod to die to his flesh. My little grandson once, he was murmuring and complaining, and I said, you know what, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to go get that switch outside and wear you out. And I think part of his struggle was that he was disappointed, or because I always told him how great he was, that he disappointed me. And finally I said, when I realized that he was starting to cry, and I realized it was because I had disapproved when I always approved. And I said, David, I love you too much not to teach you now to die to your flesh. I wish somebody had taught me when I was a kid how to die to my flesh. In suffering, the Bible says, sin loses its power. So when you die to the flesh, the sin will lose its power over you. And you have to be willing to suffer, because in suffering, sin loses its power. We have to be willing to suffer. When we give up our addictions, we give up our diet pills, we give up our food, our flesh suffers. In varying degrees, he does not believe that his parents or anyone else loves him, because God says, parents, if you love your children, you'll discipline them. That doesn't necessarily mean a spanking. It means a spanking if you don't obey. But discipline means love, care, nurture, protection, food, provision, affection, affirmation. There's thousands of positive sides of discipline, only one negative side. When you don't listen, you get a spanking. I want to listen, Lord. Open my ears to hear, Lord. Also, there's autoimmune diseases, addictive-type personalities. We reject ourselves. Perfectionistic, performance-oriented in the areas of rejection. You see, when a parent expects me to be perfect, they're violating this word, because nobody's perfect. They need to teach me how to abide in Christ, how to keep my clay submitted to the potter. An unloving spirit will produce in us addictions, overweight, mental problems, bipolar, ADD, ADHD. And let me tell you, two of the derivatives of Ritalin is cocaine and opium. And so when children are put on that, nowadays you can get sent, a parent can go to jail for not giving their kid Ritalin. And it's a doorway to addictions. I have two nephews that were put on Ritalin by a Christian doctor, and they both have had drug addicted problems. And that was the doorway. I know people that have had a drinking problem because daddy gave them alcohol in their bottle when they were little babies. There's a doorway to alcoholism. It causes schizophrenia, fear, anger, unforgiveness, anxiety, stress, excessive talkativeness. Have you ever been around somebody that never shuts up? Oh my goodness, you don't want to be around them. I remember going out to eat recently with a girl, and I'm telling you, she never came up for air. And I've been teaching a seminar all day, and I'm thinking, I'm going to feel like a bird that had flown into a plate glass window. Death, suicide, self-murder, self-condemnation, self-contempt, self-rejection. These are all the fruit of an unloving spirit. Inferiority, torment, fear of failure, fear of rejection, misery, autoimmune diseases, compulsive confession, self-comparison, shame, embarrassment, self-consciousness, a defeatist attitude, giving up and giving in, hopelessness to change, depression, fabricated personalities. I create a personality that I think is acceptable. It's one of the things of multiple personalities. If I've got this thing of rejection going in me, I'll try to be what you want me to be in order to be acceptable. I remember asking, dealing with this girl that had been into Satanism. I remember one day saying, ask the Holy Spirit how Sylvia got in. I'm just making up a name. And she said, I always wanted to be like her. I said, well, you are. that spirit, when you want to be like somebody other than what God created you to be, it's a fabricated personality. Self-pity, false responsibility, false comfort in food, alcohol, sex, drugs, discouragement, and despair. And for us to get delivered, we've got to forgive the parent most like us, make a decision to love ourselves, repent of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, receive God's discipline, stop refusing God's discipline. Proverbs says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. Your soul is your personality, your mind, your will, emotions, your heart. And if we receive discipline, our mind, will, emotions, and heart gets changed. And then we become more in the image of Christ. And so basically that scripture is saying, if you really love yourself, get yourself sanctified. And if you love discipline, you love God sanctifying you. I'm so thankful for God's grace. I love God to show me what's wrong. I'm into solving problems, not causing them. There's been people in my life I can't walk with anymore because they don't want to deal with their problems, and they want to be my best friend. And maybe they've come out of Satanism and they're full of demons, and those demons hate me, and I'm willing to cast them out and deal with them, but just to be my friend and keep those demons that hate me, I don't think so. I've had to separate it, and I love them dearly. And there's a time and a season sometimes when somebody depends on you that God's trying to break them away from you so they can find God for themselves. So there's been a purpose in that. Love God's discipline and stop refusing it. Quit going to the world for answers is not receiving God's discipline. Looking for answers spiritually is loving God's discipline. Psalms 40 verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou have done, and thy thoughts toward us. There's none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. So to get delivered, I need to submit to God's discipline, forgive my parents for critiquing me and not affirming me, not loving me enough to discipline me, God's way, repent of your rebellion and refusal of discipline, forgive your parents for their lack of affirmation. Recognize the unloving spirit for what it is, an evil spirit. If you don't get anything else from this message, know that if you have a spirit that, if you hear a voice that nitpicks you, that's not God and that's not you. Reject it. Forgive yourself, repent of self-rejection and accept yourself. Repent of anger, bitterness, and hatred towards yourself. Break generational curses. Separate yourself from it. This unloving spirit came down on me. It was a generational thing because I said to my dad one day, Dad, if I could say anything about you, what would it be? And he said, sorry, good for nothing. That's what he said. And I said, no, Dad, faithful. You are a faithful dad. And I meant it. I wasn't just trying to tell him them. He was faithful. If I could describe his life, it was faithful. Repent of anger, self-rejection, forgive yourself, accept yourself. Separate yourself from this spirit, break soul ties with the parent most like you, and refuse to let this demon work in your life anymore after today. Do not listen to a nitpicking voice. Amen. Stand up and ask the Lord to show you, and we're going to get out of here early today. Lord, search my heart and show me everything I need to repent of to get rid of this unloving, nitpicking, demon voice that has been talking to me my whole life. I want it to be over today. Lord, how do I get rid of him? Show me what to confess, and I'll repent. So just repent and sit down, and we'll take authority, and then we'll have a little break before the 3:00 meeting. Lord, forgive me for rejecting myself. I forgive my parents for rejecting me, specifically the parent most like me. Forgive me for hating myself, rejecting myself, being bitter toward myself. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward myself. Forgive me for wishing I was dead. Forgive me for believing the lie that I'm a mistake. I'm not acceptable, when you said I am acceptable in the Beloved. And you're a justifier of everyone who has faith in you, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for thinking this nitpicking demon is me talking to me. Lord, I tell him today to take a hike. He cannot stay in me any longer because the truth has made me free. And Lord, forgive me for fear of rejection, fear of not being perfect, fear of a failure. Forgive me for fear of not being right. Forgive me for not looking right. Forgive me for not being acceptable. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I have to look a certain way when you said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Forgive me for seeking after the world standard instead of you. Lord, forgive me for condemning myself, not loving myself, loving you with my whole heart. And forgive me for not loving my neighbor as myself because I don't know how to love myself. Lord, from this day forward, I want to love myself. And Lord, I speak to their hypothalamus gland, their pineal gland. I speak to the hypothalamus gland, and in the name of Jesus, I bless it to function normally. I forgive me for negative thoughts, Lord. Forgive me for thinking any word that contradicts your word, Lord. Forgive me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not loving discipline. Forgive me for not loving my own son, my own soul. Forgive me for cursing others, cursing myself, arguing with you over the way I was made. Forgive me for rejecting the way I was made, my height, my hair color, my eyes, my body, my height, my size. Forgive me, Lord, for rejecting myself. Forgive me for thinking I have to be perfect. I forgive my parents for loving me based on my performance, for rejecting me, not affirming me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive my parents for not disciplining me. Forgive me for hating myself, rejecting discipline, not having the fear of God, not learning. I forgive my parents for not teaching me to die to the flesh. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive myself in the presence of witnesses. Forgive me for hopelessness and despair. I forgive me for rebellion. I forgive my parents for not disciplining me, for training me up in the way I should not go. Forgive me for fear and anger and anxiety and stress and excessive talkativeness. I renounce the spirit of death, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of self-murder. Forgive me for self-condemnation, self-contempt. Forgive me for self-rejection. Forgive me for feeling inferior when you, the King of Kings, lives in me. Forgive me for feeling unworthy. God, I've been tormented because of this unforgiveness of myself. I forgive myself, Lord. Forgive me for compulsive confessions and cursing myself and cursing others. God, forgive me for comparing myself to others and shame and embarrassment and self-consciousness and a defeatist attitude. Forgive me for giving up and giving in. Forgive me for feeling hopeless that I could ever change. Forgive me for seeking the world for answers. God, forgive me for depression, idolatry, fabricating personalities to cope and to be accepted. Forgive me for self-pity, false responsibility, false comfort in food, alcohol, sex, drugs, relationships, money. Forgive me for discouragement and despair in the name of Jesus. And our Lord, we come against this unloving spirit in the name of Jesus. We break your power over every life. We say, let the lying lips be dumb that speak arrogantly against the righteous. In the name of Jesus, we break soul ties with our mother, father, and the parents and our forefathers that had this Antichrist spirit. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We exchange their image for the image of Christ. And now you Antichrist, unloving, nitpicking demon, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. Get out now in Jesus' name. Every lying spirit that has lied to them, get out. All spirits of overweight, gluttony, addictions, talkativeness, unnecessary talkatives, mental problems, mental illness, go. Bipolar, ADD, ADHD, go. Ritalin addictions, cocaine addictions, psychotic drug addictions, go. All spirits of fear and anger, go. Unforgiveness and anxiety and stress, leave. Death, suicide, go. Self-murder, self-condemnation, self-contempt, get out. All spirits of inferiority, worthlessness, lies that they're worthless, they're not worth it, get out in Jesus' name. All spirits of rejection, all spirits of torment, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of not fitting in, all spirits of misery, go. Compulsive confessions, cursing, lying, all spirits of self-comparison, shame, embarrassment, self-consciousness, defeatist attitude, giving up and giving in, hopelessness to change, depression, fabricated personalities. Lord, I want to be like you. I want your personality. Self-pity, false responsibility, false comfort in food, alcohol, sex, drugs, discouragement, and despair. Get out in Jesus' name. Never again will you work in these people. In the name of Jesus, the Word says if any two agree upon anything as touching heaven and earth, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. You know, growing up, I used to have a recurring dream. I would dream that I was grinding my teeth till they crumbled, which tells you that there's probably a lot of stuff that went on that, you know, that's been blocked out. And I used to have this recurring dream that I would get all dressed up for a party. I'd have the best dress, the shoes. I'd get all dressed up for the party, and I'd get there, and I'd be the only one there naked. You see, that was from being put on the spot and torn down. And I was so self-conscious that I flunked speech in college. I could not. When my son was 6 years old, I couldn't. I was president of the PTA, and I'm telling you, I'd get before people, and I would totally blank out. I couldn't think of anything. I was so self-conscious that I could not think of one thing to say. And I tell you today, God has changed my life. He has delivered me from a holding back spirit. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, when you feel released, lift your hands. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And I cast out that spirit that would put him on the spot, and that I cast out that holding back spirit. I say, get out in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, bless the Lord. We break till 3, and you're going to be blessed by Carla. Amen. That will give you a little break.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.